I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and arose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and arose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and arose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Because you died and arose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. I honor you.
The gentle healer came into our town today. He touched blind eyes and the darkness left to stay. More than the blindness, he took their sins away. The gentle healer came into our town today. The gentle healer came into our town today. He spoke one word and that's all he had to say. The one who died just rose up straight away. The gentle healer came into our town today. Oh, he seemed just like an ordinary man, with dirty feet and rough but gentle hands. The words he says are hard to understand, and yet he seems like an ordinary man. The gentle healer came into our town today. He spoke one word and I
to say. The one who died just rose up straight away. The gentle healer came into our town today. A gentle healer left our town today. I just looked around and found he'd gone away. Some folks from town had followed him to say that the gentle healer is the truth, the life, the way. The gentle healer came into our town today. He spoke one word and that's all he had to say. The one who died just rose up straight away. The gentle healer came into our town today. The gentle healer, he left the town today. He just looked around and found he'd gone away. Some folks from town had followed him to see that the gentle healer is the truth, the light, the way. The gentle healer came into our town today. He spoke one word and that's all he had to say. The one who died just rose up straight away. The gentle healer came into our town today. When the man of Galilee
hung upon the cruel tree,
he was dying for sinners like me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. Just for me and the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. When they pierced his precious side, oh forgive them now, he cried. There was pardon extended to me. As the blood and water came, glory to his precious name. Then one drop he shed just for me. Just for me and the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. When with all the saints I stand over in that happy lane, and its beauties I'm able to see, as I look upon his face, I shall thank him for his grace. And that one drop he shed just for me. Just for me and the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. When with all the saints have stained over in that happy lane, and its beauties I'm able to see, as I look upon his face, I shall thank him for his grace. And that one drop he shed just for me. just for me, the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me, as the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground. There was one drop each shed just for me. Time is filled with swift transitions. Not a word to move can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him and will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if my earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasure. They will never pass away. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, and to God you have been true, fair and bright, your home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Be to the mountain, you'll not triumph over me. Be thou removed from here and yonder, disappear into the sea. Speak to the mountain, speak with authority, and the mountain shall smooth, and you shall claim victory. Speak to the mountain, you'll not triumph over me. Be thou removed from here to yonder, disappear into the sea. Speak to the mountain, speak with authority, and the mountain must move, and you shall claim victory. Be to the mountain, you'll not triumph over me. disappear into the sea. Speak to the mountain, speak with authority, and the mountain must move, and you shall sing victory. A wounded soldier, pick up your weapon, come fight the battle, you're not alone. Party angel, camp around us, we're not defeated, we'll soon be home. A wounded soldier, pick up your weapon, come fight the battle, we're not alone. Party angel, encamped around us, we're not defeated, we'll soon be home. A wounded soldier, pick up your weapon, come fight the battle, we're not alone. Party angels, camped around us, we're not defeated, we'll soon be home.
The truth is marching on. You have to march with it, otherwise you miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially here at this closing days of time.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Amen to that. To you and I. We're marching with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're not readily accepted. He doesn't have too many followers.
That's right.
He doesn't have too many that want to bite the bullet, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That want to get their feet wet.
And we would.
It's easy to get conformity, you know, it's a tradition.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to get out there and be persecuted. Love being persecuted. It separates the chaff from the wheat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want too many hang-ons and people that just play the game. We want people that are serious, that sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
See, you and I, this is not a social program. You know what I'm trying to say? When I say a social program, like, we don't have a very attractive message that would bring in the crowds and the multitude. We like people that come to the end of themselves. That's all this is about. If you come to the end of yourself and you cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, because disaster and hardship, they're only there for one, to bring you to the end of yourself.
That's
mm-hmm. all. And then once you come to the end, then you can have fellowship one with another. That's the only thing this thing here works. The person has come right to the end and said, Lord, what you want me to do? And then the Lord takes you on, and these are the kind of people that we want to have fellowship with.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the solid people that are sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that's why we sing these songs here in spirit and truth. They mean something to us because we're part of that that nucleus of people are up in heaven cheering us on. They have gone, they've gone through their fight. And there's nobody going to go into that heavenly abode just because you live in a commune. You're going to have to go exactly what Jesus said. This is going to be eternal life. And he said, as my Father gave me my kingdom, that's how I am going to give you your kingdom. He all wants us to have, it's the Father's great pleasure to give us a kingdom. But you gotta go the Bible way. That's, it's that simple. And that's what we, you and I, are about. We have came to the end of ourselves and we have decided we'll follow Jesus. We got no other option. And, yeah, there's many traps along the way, but if you do what the Lord, the Holy Spirit requires of you, you'll be aware of the pitfalls, you know, yeah. I'm trying to say.
And like we, this is not something that we came up with. This is the journey that the Lord put us on. This is real to us, you know. That is not just something that we do for entertainment. This is real to us and alive because when the Lord saved us, you know, and we wanted to follow Jesus, you know, and walk in His perfect will, and that's the journey that God put us on. And then this is our life, you know. This is our testimony.
And we don't have, we're not interested in nothing else. People want to come on board. They want to pay the bride. They want to. It's a journey to that heavenly city. That's all mm-hmm. it is. The things of this world, they do not attract us. We got more than enough. Like I keep saying, if you seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Believe you me when the Bible says all these things. It means everything that you need for daily living. And then some. See, if I had $1 million, I remember back in the day, I used to truck into the States, and down there they got a lottery. I was just thinking about that yesterday. And I was waiting for about... So one day I was driving into California and I stopped in Belgrade for the night. And there I went into the truck stop and there was the paper. You know, the newspaper? There in bold letters right on the headline. A $286 million Wednesday night lottery. Ooh, man, if I could get that money, if I could get my money, my hands on that money, because all I ever wanted to do was help people. It's all I ever wanted in life, was to help people. And I figured, I figured I'll sleep on it. And then tomorrow, if Lord willing, I'll go see if I can get a ticket for Wednesday night love. This was on a Tuesday night. And then I went to sleep, I went to bed, and my mind went raising 100 miles an hour, man. Lord, if you and I had that money, look at all the people we could help out. Look at all the mortgage we could pay out. There's tons of people out there that I could help, you know. And I all went into a frenzy with all the people I could help out with, you know. And then, all in the middle of the night, the Lord showed up, and He was pretty disgusted with me. You're going to have to make up your mind right now. What are you going to put your trust in? Are you going to put your trust in that lottery system, or are you going to put your trust in me? You're going to have to make a decision. You cannot have both. Well, obviously, the next morning I didn't buy no lottery ticket. I just went to prayer and I said, Lord, I'll put my trust in you. And I didn't know what this was all leading to, but I did not buy no more lottery tickets because I decided to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as time went on, the Lord gave me a lottery ticket that's way more than $286 million, and I can help people with it. And then the Lord, as time went on, He just led and guided me, and he let me see that scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and then all these things will be added on to you, and there you got your lottery ticket. And all we've been doing now, we've been telling people about this here too. That is more than a lottery ticket. That's more than $286 million. If you have $286 million, you still don't have heavenly bodyguards. You still don't have health and well-being. All you got is $286 million. But if I put my trust in the Lord and I take that scripture personally, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what we've been saying. It's that drawn again experience, and then the kingdom of God is the message for your day. That's exactly what we're trying to put out here to a lost and dying world. Then you're giving them the lottery ticket. Just that simple. See, what the Lord did, he just turned it and switched it and then put it into its right perspective. That's all we're doing. We want to try to help people, but the people don't want help. They want the quick fix. They want the fast food burger and stuff like that. They don't want to pay the price. But see, this is where it's at. This is that heavenly. This is that $286 million lottery ticket plus. In fact, it's a trillion because you can't outdo God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I just thought about that yesterday. And here we have it, right on our fingertips, and nobody wants it.
Yeah,
millions, it's everything is in that package. Just look at how good the Lord has been to us. He used to go down to the dealer and see if they then got a new car with diesel and things like that, something that's very efficient. And then the Lord began to deal with us. He saw we were looking around for a car or something else. And then he moved on us to buy an electric car. And then, oh man, if you haven't had an electric car, you haven't had nothing. It's just, you can't describe it enough. We go out in the morning, and let's say Saturday morning, we usually go down to St. Norbert to the farmer's market, and there, and I get out the car, and it's already in the navigating system. The car already knows that Saturday we're going down to the farmer's market. All I have to do is press a button, and that car takes off by itself, and it goes right down to Sandor without even as much as driving it. This the Lord did that to us because he's been so good to us. You know what I'm saying? Simply because there came a day when he came by our way and we accepted him. He gave us of our sins back in 1971 and he gave me eternal life. And I've been up and down, back and forth, slipping. And like I say, I fail him so often. There's times I get faint in my heart. But you dust yourself up and you take another run at it and then another run at it. And you just keep on going. But that's how good the Lord has been to us. But the heart of it all is we want to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
We're going to run into obstacles.
Mm-hmm. There's a song. It's called If It Had Not Been. And in one of the verses it says, you can take all the wealth of this world's riches. It won't compare to what I have within. Tell me, where would I be if it had not been? Had not been for Jesus, you know, and everything that was made possible. You can take all the wealth of this world, you know, all its riches. It does not compare to what Jesus does for you. And there is no comparison at all. When you've been touched by Jesus, there is something that's indescribable.
Amen. What's the scripture we're talking about? To them that be found worthy. We'll just continue.
It's Luke.
I want to continue with these, exposing these, what happens to these people that will not be found worthy. You go into the millennium age, into the kingdom age. The Bible talks a lot about it. And we want to continue on. What happens to those people that are not going to be found worthy? To go into that millennial reign. See, I thought it says, Sadducees asked about the resurrection. But in there, if you go digging through it, you'll find something here, what we read yesterday. So Jesus said to them, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage. We're not talking about marriage now, we're talking about something else. But those who are regarded as worthy to share in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. But see, and here there's a nugget. There's something I'd like to bring out. The children of this world marry and given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead.
Welle aber werdig sein werden. Jene Welt soll langen. Jene Welt ist Millennium.
Mm-hmm.
Jene Welt soll langen. Und die Auferstehung von den Toten, die werden freien und sich freien. Blessed is he that resurrection here, it's talking about, blessed is he that is part of the first resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That's the people that we're talking about. They're going into the millennial, and before that millennium sets in, everybody that's going to make it is going to be resurrected. There's six parts to the first resurrection. And then it says, blessed is he that has part of the first resurrection. And when the millennium sets in, everybody that's going to be in that eternal age are going to have been resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this year is all about. But you have to be found worthy to go into that resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the millennium, there's another resurrection. That's for the wicked. That's for those people that have not accumulated for themselves heavenly virtues and they're not going to go into that millennial reign. And those people that are not going into that millennium, those people that are not part of that first resurrection, they are going to go into hell. And then we always say hell and death. See, there's no death in hell. Hell is a place of torment.
Mm-hmm.
And hell is going to last for 1,000 years. And then after the great white throne judgment, hell and death was going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And that's why we say hell and death.
Mm-hmm.
Because hell, like I say, there's no death in hell. It's just torment. It's for 1,000 years, they're going to be tormented in hell. And then once the books were opened and the great white throne judgment, and then they go into that lake of fire to be destroyed, to be completely annihilated. There's no memory of them anymore. Their soul and their body is going to be destroyed, and it could be, for some it might only be a week, forever. For some it might be 1,000 years. I don't know. That's not given to us, and there's no scripture to prove. But the Bible talks about he that knoweth to do God's will and doesn't do it, that guy will be getting double stripes.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain levels of torment. There's certain level of destruction over in that lake of fire. Let's say, if you didn't know, you might get 1,000 years. But if you did know and you didn't do it, you'll get 2,000 years before your body is destroyed. And then once that body and that soul is destroyed, a spirit goes back to God who gave it,
mm-hmm.
completely purified. I see it so crystal clear. I'm digging around in it, but I could not get the understanding of it. Because somebody told me you're made up of soul, body, and spirit. But I don't want to get off the topic here, because I want to stay within the confines of those people that are not going to be found worthy to go into that millennial reign.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord, are just too numerous to mention. I just pray for grace, Lord, to continue on this path and to be faithful and true in what you've called us to be, Lord. It's one thing to come to the truth, but it's another thing, Lord, to stick with it, to stick it out, and to do it to the end. So, Lord, we just ask for grace to be able to say the things that you once said, to say it in such a way that it'll resonate, and something that we will not compromise on. So, Lord, we just ask for help in these closing days of time, that we stay the course and that we'll be faithful and true right to the very end. Help us to say the things that he wants us to say in these closing days of time, Lord. Help us to bring it out in such a way that people will fear and tremble from your word, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
See, we're going after the people that Jesus had to fight with when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
He had to put up with a lot of flack. And the most people that give a run for his money are these things in the pulpit. These scribes and these Pharisees. And if you want to really know what Jesus taught of these scribes and the Pharisees, they were always harassing him. He would do miracles, and he would see the people was beginning to start to believe in Jesus. So what the scribes and the Pharisees, they tried to prove to the people that this is not the Messiah. That's why every turn of the way they try to catch him with words, but see, they were always harassing him. And then finally
He kept warning the people, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They teach one thing and then they do another.
Right.
And these times, they're still here. We're just exposing them. And today's hour. See, everything, the Bible runs through to four. There's still these stripes and these Pharisees, they're still around today. And they're giving us a run for our money. They're giving us a rough time, these scribes and these Pharisees. Just exactly as it was back in the days of Jesus. And then they keep galloping and they keep multiplying. And then you see these scribes and these Pharisees throughout the dark ages. But they're not called scribes and the Pharisees. They're called these Catholic bishops throughout the dark ages. These terrorists, these Jesuits and the Pope. And they're still, like I say, every group, every church has their scribe and their Pharisees and their Pope. But we got to bring it in today's hour. These scribes and these Pharisees, they are these people in these upright pulpits. It's the same spirit that was back there and when Jesus had to fight them. We're just zooming in and we're bringing them here in today's hour. Where do we get most of our persecution? Right from these scribes and these Pharisees, just like they give it to Jesus. And Jesus, if you want to know what Jesus taught to them, you go read Matthew 23. Woe unto you, and we're saying the same thing to these scribes and these Pharisees, to these Leonards from Delta, to these Elis from Hidden Valley, and to these Arnolds from Acadia. But the thing of it is, we're not trying to destroy them. We're just trying to expose them mm-hmm. so that they can repent before it's too late. That's all our mission is, and that's all Jesus' mission was. He was exposing them when he was telling the people about the scribes and the Pharisees, and he was telling the people about their traditions, and he was fighting with the scribes and the Pharisees. Your traditions and your religion has made the word of God none effect. They were an enemy of the people, but see, they were living in their comfort zone, and all Jesus did, he came to expose them. He said, like the Bible, he came to destroy the works of Satan. That's all we're exposing that Leonard from Delta. That Leonard from Delta, he's not born again. He doesn't have a clue, nothing about the prophet. He knows about it, like I said. He that knows to do what is right and doesn't do it, he's going to get a double strike. That Leonard from Delta is going to get a double dose when he comes to that lake of fire. He's going to get because his aim, that John Stahl's aunt, that John Stahl's wife, she was in that Brenner movement. He knows about that God sending a prophet. Because his aunt knew about it, and you can be rest assured, when that John Stahl knew about this, he told everybody, especially his family and his friends and his in-laws and his out-laws. And they all know about it. He tried overtime to work to tell them about this prophet. God sent the prophet. They know about it, just like you and I. When you were given that book, the church age book, you embrace it with a passion. That's why we are where we are. But see, these tugs, what they do, they didn't want that because it didn't fit into their program. What I've been seeing the last few, they were introduced to it, and now that they're introduced and they rejected it, then like I say, I was in the kangaroo courts, and they all heard me say, that time when I was, Jake from Blumengarten, he was the head honcho, him and that Mike here from Sommerfeld, and they decided, you know, you got till sundown to get out of here. Well, I said, because I didn't allow myself to be brainwashed, and I didn't conform to their ways, their Auschwitz thing. So they said, you got till sundown to get out of here. Well, so I got up and I said, Jake Fetter, you're the leader here, right? Yep. You're what the Bible would call the religious leader. Yep. Well, who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ? Where you want to go with that? I'll tell you where I'm going to go with it. You got nothing on me. All I did was tell you guys the truth, that God sent the prophet, and I know it's the truth, and you decided you don't want it. You rejected it. Now you're going to do exactly what they did back to Jesus. You're going to do what the popes did in the dark ages. Just get rid of these guys. Burn them at the stake. That's all you're doing. But before I leave, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell the Lord about how you guys operate. And whatever judgment you judge, God will judge you therewith. And they all heard it. That Leonard from Delta, he was there in that kangaroo court. And they all heard me say that, and now that they know, see what I'm saying? Now that they know, they're still continuing on their diabolical schemes and see, they're going to have a double dose. And that lake of fire, because the Bible says, he that knoweth to do God's will and does not do it, he that does not know, he's going to get the stripes anyway. But he that knows and doesn't do it, he's going to get a double sword. That Leonard, if he doesn't change his ways, if he does not accept the message for his day, here in his closing days of time, he is going to get a double dose and that lake of fire. There's no future for these people. That's why we're doing everything we can to expose them and to give them an opportunity to repent and to accept his message here. Mm-hmm. See what Jesus did back then. He exposed them and let them know, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. And when the destruction of Jerusalem came, they were killed and slaughtered and butchered by the thousands. And here we're just, all we're doing, we're exposing it before it's too late. And then when the Apostle Paul, he run into the same tugs. He run into that, I fought with wolves at Ephesus. See, he run into that. And then he always fighting, always with his antichrist, and so as much as he said, what to God they were cut off. What to God they were dead. And then we come into our hour, and Brother Branham, he had a fight with them too, these religious zealots. And he said, he called them dead of Karen, like a dead rabbit sitting beside a road. That's all they are. They're feeding on dead of Karen. And then Brother Branham comes along, or Brother Jackson comes along, and he calls them, they're not worth one clean bullet. You know what I'm saying? And that's how, what you and I are saying, we're giving them an opportunity to repent, because if they don't repent, they're going to get a double dose. But see, we're not going to take vengeance into our own hands. We're just exposing them, and we're just letting the Lord deal with them. And if they can repent and give themselves in, Then good for them. But if they don't, they're keeping the people in the dark. They're keeping the people. They're not letting this here truth come into their colony. Because believe you me, this is the only thing that's missing in these colonies. They will not give them the truth. Their garbage and their servants, they're not worth one clean book. They're not worth destroying even. The fire is too good for them, because they were put out by these antichrists. That Jakob Hutter and that Andreas there, they were just refined Roman Catholic priests. That's all they were. Mm-hmm. And all they did all their life was combat Martin Luther, who was that church messenger. And we keep seeing it over and over again. And anything that's outside that church messenger, like Martin Luther, the message here, this is eternal life, that you listen to Martin Luther. Anything outside of that is not going to take you to eternal life. It's going to take you out to all of that sermon that Jakob Hutter had. It's going to take people out to hell and that. It's just that because he's not interconnected with that mind. And I just keep seeing it over and over again, but we're just exposing it so that here someday along the road of life, they might find a place to repent, and they might even let this truth go into these colonies. That's all that's missing. It's a very well-oiled machine. The only thing that's missing is these tugs in the pulpit, these antichrists, that are stopping this truth from going into these colonies. And I've been fighting with them for 20 years, and all to no avail.
Yeah, it looks quite strange when people hear us talking about these preachers, because the people have made them into some kind of idols, you know, something that is holier than thou. But that's the same way it was in the day of Jesus, when Jesus started to expose the Pharisees and those religious leaders. They were really reverend, you know. People looked up and they tried to follow everything that they said and what they told them to do, you know. And 'cause when Jesus started to expose them, the disciples, they were surprised at what they were hearing, you know. But that's the same way here in this generation. When we expose these preachers, you know, and the spirit that is actually behind it is a spirit. When Jesus was tackling those Pharisees and the scribes and this Sadducees, he was actually tackling the spirit that was driving them. Mm-hmm. In the same way, that's what we're doing. There is a spirit behind these preachers that are driving them and keeping people from the truth. And they're not following Jesus. They're following a religion. That is all. Because when you read in Matthew, it's in a different angle than the one in Luke when he talks about the age of regeneration here. In Matthew 19, verse 27, Peter said to Jesus, "Behold, we have forsaken all." See, the disciples, they forsook it all mm-hmm. and followed Jesus.
They're exactly what we did.
That's right. Uh-huh. "What shall we have therefore?" So Peter was asking Jesus, "We have forsaken it all to follow you. What will be our lot?" And Jesus said to them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." See, that's what it's all about. Those disciples will be sitting on the throne to help judge the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. They will help ruling and reigning over the Israeli people. That will be what they will their position will be. That's because they followed everything to follow Jesus, and that's what we did. We've left everything to follow Jesus. And then, two, in the age of regeneration, when that millennium reign will come, we too will sit on that position and ruling over the people that we come out of. You know, that's really what it's all about here, to see who's going to be found worthy to help Jesus to rule and reign over the people that you come out of. You're not going to rule and reign over people that you don't know. It's going to be over the people that you come out of. And that's why God called us out to walk this journey and to do what we're doing, to expose these things. And then on the flip side, you can see these preachers have not followed Jesus. They have followed the fleshly, carnal ways of man to have power and control over people. That is not leading people. That is controlling people, you know. And then these people will not be found worthy to sit on thrones in that age of regeneration.
Yeah, exactly right. Because in the millennium, we're going to sit there with Jesus when we come back, and we're going to rule that. We're going to judge that Leonard from Delta. We're going to judge that Eli from Hidden Valley mm-hmm. if he doesn't repent. Mm-hmm. They got an opportunity here to repent. We're going to be judging someday that Paul, from Rosebank. We'll be judging these over there. They were judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. And here, we're going to be judging these Hutterites mm-hmm. because we were down here and we know exactly how they operate, how they're trying to put us at the outs, and how they did everything they could. They used my family to try to break me and all that stuff. But see, that's all part of the program mm-hmm. to make us worthy to go into that age of regeneration right. and to be, when we come over there, to be judging and to ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. And we'll be judging just like they were judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what you and I will be judging these other rights, whether they like it or not. And they won't. They'll be on the wrong side of the fence. All we're doing now, we're just trying to warn them so that they can repent and come on board and open up the opportunities of this truth can go into these colonies, because all their sermons, they're set up by that Antichrist spirit. It's all just Antichrist, and all that stuff can breed is just another bishop, just another Jay Kleinser, just another pedophile. A lot of these preachers, two of them got caught, but there's tons of them in there and that system that are pedophiles.
That's right. That's just part of the human natural human nature.
That's what that Roman Catholic spirit mm-hmm. does. It'll produce just more the same and the same filth Like I say, I know quite a few preachers that are pedophiles, but I'm not going to say they are. I'm just going to wait until they come out in the open. And when they come out in the open, I'll just be able to say, I seen that a long time ago. That whole Hutterite preacher said, it's all just infiltrated with Roman Catholicism, everything that the Roman Catholic Church did. That's all that Hutterite thing is about. They adopted it when they adopted that satanic, diabolical Roman Catholic baptism. Mm-hmm. Now they're all tied, and they got that same spirit on that the Catholic Church does. What are these priests doing? All they do is, they're a bunch of pedophiles. They abuse children, and they kill women and all that stuff, or they kill their babies, and they burn them up with acid, and they get the nuns pregnant, and they're doing everything that's filthy. That's all that preacher system is, that Hutterite cult. Like I say, two or three of them got caught, but there's a lot more that have not got yet caught, because it's the spirit of the thing. That's what we're trying to see. That's what we're trying to do. The spirit of the thing, and all we're doing, we're exposing it, because that's the direction they're going to go. And now that they know, now that we told them, just like Jesus said, the words that I speak are going to judge you on that day. The words that we speak here, they're going to judge them on that day. And and all we're doing, we're working all the time to keep them from going into that judgment. Mm-hmm. If they accept the truth for your day, they can just accept the message for your day. They can get away from all that judgment. That's all we're trying to do. That's the Lord has honed us out. That's what the Lord has called us to do. That's what we're doing. 24/7, like I keep saying, everything that we say, doing is going in to warn a lost and dying world about just what's coming up the road here. It's a very exciting time for you and I, because we know just 2028, it's all over but the crying. It's when the angel comes down and he throws Satan into hell, into the... And then that's the end of it all. Then the Lord sets up his millennial reign. That's right. We got the program right, because we found it through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. Here in the church, here to listen, there's only one thing to tell the people. God sent a prophet. And from there, you got to listen to what that prophet had to say. And then when he went off the scene, he had a chief apostle, Reverend M. Jackson. And that's all that you and I, that's our job description, that's our mandate that we get from the Lord, to hold on to the things that have been given to the church age of Laodicea, and to warn the people of a lost and dying world where it's at here in these closing days of time. Just that simple.
That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. We just want to give you thanks for the journey that you've put us on, Lord. We just want to help people to understand. Let these words speak to them, Lord, because we know the Spirit can quicken and bring to life, Lord, and bring it into reality of what this life is all about, Lord, that you're just testing us to see if we're going to be found worthy to enter into that age of regeneration and assist the Lord Jesus Christ with ruling and reigning, Lord. And we know there's also the other side where people will not be found worthy and where their destination lies, Lord. So we just want to help people to understand, and so that they come to repentance, Lord. Give them a repenting heart, Lord, to repent of things, Lord, and so that they can be found worthy to enter in, Lord, and walk in your ways. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.